Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I don't know what kind of year it's been for you, but God knows. He sees you. He loves you. And He knows what you need to be revived and refreshed and restored. Well, for me, it's been a really intense year in both good ways and some really, really hard ways. And most of you know all about that, don't you? But, you know, I'm more aware now, I just can tell you this, that I'm more aware and assured of God's goodness than I ever have been in my whole entire life. I'm more aware and assured of His promise to fulfill His promises than I've ever been before. Jesus is more than a savior. You know, He's the best friend you'll ever have. He's more powerful than cancer and rejection and divorce. He's more powerful than fear and sorrow and anxiety. He's your Prince of Peace. So no matter what you're walking through today, Jesus is greater still. So today we're going to take a deeper look at the names of Jesus. Every year about this time, we invite our friend Asherita Chuchu back on the show to explore the content of her beautiful Advent book, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. Now I need to tell you, our text line is down. I'm so frustrated with that. We're working hard behind the scenes, but the reason I love having our text line open is it connects me with you, and I get to hear from you and see what you're saying about your life right now, but I don't have that access to you right now. So, but I want you to know we still do have giveaways of Asherita's beautiful devotional. Again, it's titled Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent devotional. So here's how to enter the drawing. We're just doing it manually, like in the olden days, all right? You're going to send Angela, my producer, an email, angela@myfaithradio.com, and Angie will send you the link to enter the drawing. This is a beautiful book. You'll want to tuck it away for next year since we're on the home stretch of the holiday season. angela@myfaithradio.com. Quick announcement before we hear from Asherita. You know, some Christians believe that celebrating Christmas is a pagan practice, and some just count the days till it's over. But I want to tell you, I see it differently. And I wrote a blog post on that topic. You'll find it on our website at myfaithradio.com. It's called Comfort and Joy. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Asherita Chuchu is an author, speaker, and blogger. She grew up in Romania as a missionary kid and studied English and women's ministry at Cedarville University in Ohio. Her passion is helping women find joy in Jesus through a deeper walk with God. Asherita is married to Flavu, and together they raise their spunky children in Northeast Ohio. Asherita, we just love you. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, Suzy, thank you so much for having me back on. This is such a fun Christmas tradition.
It is a fun Christmas tradition, and we do it at Easter time in the Lenten season, so I love that as well. Appreciate that so much. But let's start here. What has the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, I feel like this is a recurring theme for me for this whole year, is just the theme of rest, honestly. It's been, releasing two books in 1 year has been a lot for me, and I was listening to you share at the beginning of the program too. It's just an intense year in good ways and hard ways too. And I had a friend say, you know, if you're not going to rest the easy way, he's going to make you rest the hard way. that's just his good shepherd heart for his sheep, is that he would lead us in green pastures. He makes us lie down beside still waters. And in doing that, he restores our soul. So I had eye surgery a few weeks ago, and my eyesight is not healing the way that I had hoped or that doctors had hoped. And so it has put a pause on almost all of my work. My work involves screens and texts and words. so I haven't been able to do any of that these last few weeks. And he's just been whispering rest to my soul. And he's so good to be with us. Whether we're resting the easy way or the hard way.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I too released two books and then had two major oral surgeries that were connected to treating Lyme. And both were much, much harder than anticipated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just that the goodness and the hardness all together. Are you concerned about your slow recovery, or are they just saying, it'll be fine, it's just slow? I mean, What are they saying about that?
We're not quite sure yet. So we'll probably have a follow-up appointment here after the holidays. And today was probably the first day where I'm seriously like having doubts about recovery, but I'm hopeful that, you know, it might require another procedure, but you know, the Lord is just kind and present through it all. So I'm grateful for that.
It'd be okay if I prayed for you before we move into the conversation.
Well, I love that, Susie. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, Father, friends, as you're listening, maybe just imagine lifting our dear sister Asherita up. Let's do it together, right? There's power in agreement. And we just lift up Asherita to your throne, precious Lord. And we thank you that she's your daughter. And Jesus, I remember in the Gospels when when people were condemning you for healing a man and us offering to forgive his sins, and you said, what's harder, forgiving or healing? This is my paraphrase, but you're saying, it's just as easy to save as it is to heal. It's actually just as costly. But by your stripes, we are healed. And so I pray the blood of Jesus from the top of her Asherita's head to the soles of her feet. And I thank you that you bring light to her eyes, give her eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to do your will. And I pray there'd be such redemption and healing, physical healing in her eyes, but even a deep spiritual awakening in her spiritual eyesight. God, I pray that you would take what the enemy meant for evil, turn it for good so that she comes through this with more clarity than she's ever had, both physically and spiritually. God, and I pray it would serve as a lesson to the enemy not to mess with your children. We pray accelerated healing, but also deep and abiding rest in the meantime. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, Susie.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a while since I've asked you about your faith journey. Talk about how you came to Jesus. I remember you writing in the Advent Devo that Christmas wasn't always your favorite time of year, but give us a little backstory, not only on your faith journey, but just on your Christmas journey.
Yeah. So I grew up in a Christian family. My parents are both Romanian. My dad was the pastor of a few churches in Romania during communism, and just experienced opposition and persecution. And so as both my mom and dad and my older brother had to escape the country, and I was born on the way of their escape route to the U.S. In Greece. We lived there for a year and then came to the U.S. And my growing up, like just hearing the story of God's protection over them and provision for them in the unknown, in not knowing, you know, what tomorrow would hold, he has always been so real to me. Not just the God of the Old Testament or the Jesus of the New Testament, but the God who is present here with us now through his Spirit, who is at work, who wants to reveal Jesus to anyone who seeks him will find him when they seek with a whole heart. And so that was my childhood, was growing up on those stories of God's miraculous power and provision. And we went back to Romania after communism fell as missionaries to the Roma people for 10 years. And it was like watching the book of Acts come to life, Susie.
Wow.
Just seeing God's Spirit powerfully at work to transform lives and communities and to heal marriages and break addictions and bring healing to communities. Just incredible, incredible work. So yeah, from a young age, it was real. And it's like, I have no choice. Like, I do have a choice, but like, how could I choose anything but to say, God, here I am. Here I am. Do whatever it is you would do with me.
Wow. You know, as I listen to you, Asherita, it just gives me this heart to pray that God would send missionaries to America. You know, I mean, imagine just such a revival, a book of Acts breaking out here, marriages being saved, prodigals coming home, bodies being healed, the lost being found. I pray for it every day. And whatever it takes, Lord, you know, use people in our day. Boy, that's just amazing. Say a word, if you would, about Advent and just where it originated from and why we recognize it as part of our holiday season.
Sure. Yeah. So before I jump into that, so the Christmas season for me was hard because as a missionary kid, Christmas was the busiest time of year. And so my little introverted heart, like I just wanted to be done with the whole hubbub of Christmas, with the multiple services, with the Christmas plays and all the song caroling and everything. It was just too much. And so I grew up to be a bit of a Grinch when it came to Christmas. Like, let's just, can we skip all over all the pageantry? Can we celebrate Jesus' birth in October sometime? Like, can we, you know, it wasn't that I didn't want to celebrate the gift of Jesus. It was that everything else was overwhelming to me. Mm. And as a new mom, there was a mom in our church who said, aren't you so excited for Christmas? And, you know, you get to celebrate with Carissa, who was my 1-year-old at the time. And it makes so many fun memories. And in a moment of honesty, I was like, not really. I'm kind of afraid I'm going to mess this up and ruin Christmas for her. And it was that older mom that God used to redirect my heart to say, you know, it doesn't Wow. have to be this way. You get to decide what Christmas is like for you and your family. Just because, you know, things were always done a certain way doesn't mean they have to continue that way. And would you go home and pray and ask God to help you rediscover the joy of Christmas? And he did that for me through the practice of Advent and specifically through unwrapping the names of Jesus. And so what I discovered with Advent, I did not grow up observing or celebrating Advent. It was new to me as an adult, but is definitely not new to the church. Advent has been celebrated for ever since, I think the oldest records go back to the 300s AD. And so close to the early church, we have records of people slowing down to prepare to celebrate Jesus' coming. And that coming is what Advent means. It's not just Jesus' first coming, but also his second coming, that we can trust God's heart, that the same way he kept his promises with all the prophecies leading up to Jesus' birth, we can trust him and his promises of his return, his second coming as well. And in these weeks of Advent, slowing down, preparing, really focusing my heart on Jesus, he helped me do that through the study of Jesus' different names, which is not an Advent tradition historically, but it is something that has just been such a gift to my heart. And over the last 5 years, just thousands of families unwrapping Jesus' names. It's one of my greatest joys now when December rolls around that I get to celebrate Christmas with my family, that we get to celebrate the joy of Jesus' birth, of the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God and the great high priest and the Prince of Peace, all these things that he offers himself to us, and that people around the world, around the U.S., are discovering who Jesus is and why his birth is so miraculous. So it's such an incredible story of redemption, of how God used what was hard and broken, a season that was difficult for me, and has redeemed it in such a beautiful way to restore it to joy.
Boy, I love that so much. And I'm really, your backstory is just breathtaking. Thank you for sharing. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll start to unwrap some of the names of Jesus. What a great idea for a book title and a book concept. Asherita Chuchu is my guest today. Unwrapping the Names of Jesus is the title of her Advent devotional. Our text line is down. We so miss connecting with you, but we still want to offer you resources. Thanks to Moody, we've got a handful of copies to give away. So this is how we're doing it. You're emailing our producer, Angela, at myfaithradio.com. She will email you back a link and you can enter the drawing that way. All right, Angela at myfaithradio.com. Make sure you reference Advent, Asherita, unwrapping the names, something like that when you fill out the form. More with Asherita in just a moment. So do you listen to Suzy Larson Live often? I sure hope you do. And if you do, I could use your help. Consider becoming a Faith Radio ambassador today and get the word out, not only about my show, but all the other great shows that we air on Faith Radio. You'll get everything you need to share the good news. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Let's go. Hope you're having a really beautiful Christmas season and a great day. I'm Susie Larson on Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Asherita Choo Choo. Is that not the coolest name ever? But that's not why we have her on, because if she only had a cool name but no content to share, that would not be a good enough reason, though I love her name. But she joins us every Lenten season, every Advent season, because she's got two really great devotionals. She's got other books too, but we love to talk at Christmas time about her Advent Devo, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. And thanks to Moody, we've got a handful of copies to give away. As you probably have figured out, our text line is down. So if you want to enter, we got to do it the old-fashioned way. You're going to email our producer, Angela, at myfaithradio.com. You'll get back a link and you enter the drawing that way. I miss connecting with you via text. I just want you to know. All right, let's talk about this. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And for week one, you explore hope. Jesus is the hope of the earth. Unpack that one for us, if you would.
Yeah. So, you know, the names of Jesus that give me hope, that give us hope, is, you know, even his name, Jesus, that means Savior, Yeshua. It's the same name, the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Joshua, which brings to mind, you know, this powerful warrior who helped Israel conquer Canaan, who went into battle after battle and helped them win victories. And, you know, the Israelites were waiting for a Messiah that would be someone like Joshua, you know, someone who would overthrow the Roman government and would help restore their autonomy to their nation. And that's where their hope was placed, that type of a Messiah figure. And yet Jesus, his battles were fought not with an army, but his battle was fought alone on the cross. His battle was not against a political regime or a government. His battle was of cosmic proportions, to win the battle against sin and death. So Jesus, our Savior, more powerful, more spectacular than Joshua, he's the one who won the battle, and it's in his victory that we stand. He is our salvation. He is the one who is our Savior, and our hopes are placed in him. And yet sometimes I think, you know, much like the Israelites hoping for a different type of a Messiah, I think sometimes we hope for something different. And yet Jesus, he is the one who even teaches us how to hope, what to hope for, corrects the desires of our hearts. And he's the resurrection and the life. He's the light of the world, the King of Kings. Those names bring us hope in a dark world and in a difficult time when so many of us in the last few years have struggled with illness and diagnoses and the death of loved ones. Jesus is the one, the only one, in whom our hope is placed, and that hope will never falter, will never stumble, because he alone holds us secure in himself.
You know, as someone who's at times wanted relief more than anything from symptoms and things, I can imagine how the Israelites wanted relief from oppression, from the Roman, you know, oppression. And when they weren't getting that immediately, they got offended, you know, and yet God's plan was so much bigger. It was redemption. And I know for me at different times in my life, when I just so want relief from the circumstance, from the suffering, from the struggle, I'm positioning myself to miss God, it seems, because, you know, even you think about when Jesus came, you know, all these Jewish leaders who'd studied the scriptures, they were versed in the prophecies, but they missed him when he was right in front of them performing miracles and fulfilling prophecies. Mm-hmm. Yet, like Anna and Simeon, recognized him before he'd done anything. They were so in tune with the Spirit of God and the ways of God, they discerned him as a baby. That just speaks volumes to me, Asherita. I don't want to miss what God is doing. And I think maybe speak to that, because as you said, coming through these last few years especially, we can get so battered by our circumstances. If we're in the weeds and all we're thinking of is relief, we might miss the bigger story of what he's writing with our lives.
Yeah, exactly. I think, Susie, it has a lot to do with expectations, you know, and we all have expectations, whether, you know, we're expecting God to provide for us financially and we're in a tight spot, or we're expecting healing or mending a marriage or some other requests that we've brought to him. And the expectations can grow into bitterness if we feel like God is not doing what we want him to do. And yet I loved how you said that, like we, in being so fixated on what it is that we are demanding of him, we often miss what he offers us with open mm-hmm. hands. Mm-hmm. And what he offers is always, always better. So I've learned, you know, through the hardships in my own life to hold out open hands and to say, okay, would you show me what you're doing through this right now? Would you, I want to open my hands to what you're offering, even if it doesn't look like what I was hoping for. Help me to trust your heart in this. He's just so good and kind, even in the midst of the known, even when I don't want to open my hands, when I want to like clench my fist and hold on to, but this is what I want, like a child throwing a temper tantrum. He's such a good and patient father to lead us even through those and to say, my child, like what I have is better. He wants to offer his very self to us.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, as he gives us maybe something different when we open our hands, to me, it's a foretaste. It's a taste of things to come. It's a portion of our inheritance. So when we see that in its fulfillment, when we see him, we'll like his ways better. And I think it's just this whole journey is one to learning to trust him. So I love the idea of unwrapping the names of Jesus. So we're not basing Jesus on our circumstances. We're basing his character on what the word says about who he is, because there's no shadow of turning with him. So let's talk, if we can, about Jesus, King of Kings. Talk about that one.
Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking how I think our generation especially is so taken with what's happening right now with the British monarchy and the direction that's headed. And there's just something so fascinating, I think, in our day and age about what it means to be a king or a queen to rule in that way, because we're so used to electing our officials. But Jesus is portrayed in scripture as King of Kings at both the beginning and the end of his life. Gentiles, people who weren't even from Israel, acknowledged him as King of the world. The wise men brought him gifts fit for a king. And as he hung on a cross, Pilate had this posted King of the Jews. Jesus is king, not just of the Jews. He's king of the world, king of all. And yet his own people did not receive him. His own people did not acknowledge his kingship, even though it was rightfully his. And yet Jesus didn't force it on them. He offered it again as a choice, an option, that they would acknowledge him and worship him as their king. But one day Jesus will come back as King of Kings. In Revelation, we see that he will come on a white horse. He will step into his kingdom. You know, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one day soon, Jesus is coming as King of Kings. His kingdom will be established. And one day, every knee will bow before the King of Kings. There will be no more choice. But here and now, we get to choose. We get to join in his kingdom, to acknowledge him and worship him. The whole universe worships the King of Kings. We as humans are the ones who often miss this privilege. And yet it's extended to each and every one of us that we would bow our knee before the King of Glory.
I was just going to say, somebody going to text me an amen, but we don't have the text line. Oh, I miss hearing from you. I got to read this. The entire universe worships the King of Kings, but we as humans often miss the privilege, as Asherita said. We're often so focused on ourselves that we become prideful, angry, and annoyed with others, especially in the busyness of the holiday season. Take your eyes off yourself, fix your gaze on the King of Glory, and worship him today. Next, we're going to talk about Jesus, light of the world. More with Asherita Choo-Choo in a minute.
A mysterious star in the sky.
It's bright like one and shines like one.
A baby lying in a manger.
There he is, after all this time.
And a fulfilled promise.
You will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.
In Fulfillment is a biblical audio drama, over 40 voice actors, and the fulfilled moments of Jesus' life. Search In Fulfillment wherever you listen to podcasts, or just go to myfaithradio.com.
It's the smile.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Asherita Chuchu. I love to have her on every Advent season and every Lenten season. She's got beautiful Lenten and Advent books. Today we're talking about Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent devotional published by Moody. And thanks to Moody, we've got a handful of copies to give away. Unfortunately, our text line is down. Please pray for us because we sure love that mode of connecting with you. But if you still want in on the drawing, you want to get this book and tuck it away for next year, you obviously can read it up till as long as you want, but it is so great as you prepare your heart for Jesus' birth and also his soon return. If you want in on the drawing, we have to do it the old-fashioned way. You can email our producer, Angela, at myfaithradio.com. You'll get a link back and you enter the drawing that way. So, Asherita, let's talk about Jesus, the light of the world. I want to read this excerpt and then just have you unpack it a little bit. You write, "The holiday season is filled with lights, strings of lights on Christmas trees, colorful lights on rooftops, inflatable figures on front lawns. It's easy to allow commercial light pollution to drown out the shining light within us. Today, ask the Spirit to shine God's light in your life and help you see God's work all around you. Then ask him to shine through you so that others may see the hope of life eternal and turn to him." Talk more about that.
Yeah, I think this is one of the miraculous things about Jesus, about the names of Jesus. It's who he is himself and who he offers himself to us, but then also the gift of what he places inside us. Like, Jesus is the light of the world, and because of him, we don't walk in darkness. You know, the psalmist says, even darkness is not dark with you, mm-hmm. because you are light. And what a gift that it's not just we come to Jesus as the light of the world, but he then turns to us and puts his light in us so that we might go out into the darkness, into the workplace, into our communities, into the school district, in the slums of the city. We get to go in the dark places with the light of the world inside us, his own spirit living in us, powerfully working through us. What a gift it is that we don't just come to Jesus, for a few minutes a day, but he offers himself to us all day, every day, wherever we walk. There is no darkness because the light himself walks with us. Every name is a gift like this that we get to unwrap every single day. It's who Jesus is, who he offers himself to us, and then who he is living within us.
Boy, you're so right. I think that's why I love the idea of this Advent devotional, because to not rush by these names, because we rattle them off, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, you know, Light of the World, and they're lyrical and poetic and beautiful to say, but to stop and pause with each one and really ponder, this is who Jesus is, I think it solidifies and strengthens our, to me, my attachment to him, my assurance in him, and my confidence in the fact that I'm held by him. So let's talk about this one. Week 2 is all about preparation, and you reference Isaiah 40, verse 3, prepare the way for the Lord. Talk about what that might look like, not only during Advent season, but I think preparing the way for the Lord to return at any time. How might we live with that kind of holy expectancy?
Yeah. That's what I love that you highlighted, that Advent is a season of celebrating, yes, Jesus' first coming, but his second one too. And so the season of Advent prepares us, yes, to celebrate Jesus' birth as a baby in a manger, but it also, I think, sets the tone for a new year, for an ongoing lifestyle of preparation. Unwrapping Jesus' names doesn't have to end on Christmas Day. Like, I think instead, part of my prayer is that God would stir in my heart a hunger for more of him, a thirst for more of him, a desire to read scripture, to study it, to get to know him in the pages of the Bible, to an awareness of his presence with me throughout the day, And I was just reading a quote recently. I think it might have been Oswald Chambers. No, Dallas Willard, that said, you know, the most important thing in our life is not what we do, but who we become, because that's what we take with us into eternity. And so as we spend time gazing at Jesus, transfixed by him face to face, we become more like Jesus, just like Moses would spend time with him and his face would radiate God's glory in his presence. So we, Paul says, with unveiled faces, reflect God's glory to the onlooking world. But that's only when we spend time with Jesus. So this season of Advent, yes, it prepares us to celebrate Jesus' coming as a baby, but more than that, it can set us on a trajectory for the coming year to continue preparing our hearts, to continue spending time in his presence, to be molded and shaped more and more into the image of who Jesus is, because that's what we take with us into eternity. When we finally will see him face to face, we will know him because we've spent time with him.
Yeah, what a day that'll be. There's another verse, and I think it's one of the epistles, I can't remember, but it says, he who hopes in him purifies himself. So we set our hope in him, you know, and in the pure in heart see God. But as we just fix our eyes on him, we ponder his character, we stand in awe of his wonder, something changes within us. So I just think that's so powerful. Jesus is also the Lion of Judah. And you write, Jesus is the triumphant Lion of Judah. And those enemies scatter in fear, we know he's good. His awe-inspiring strength comforts us, even as it reminds us to posture our hearts in humble adoration. Say more about that one.
Yeah, Lion of Judah is one of the names that has become dear to me this year in particular. And just the reminder that Jesus does not stand idly by as evil unfolds in this world. That he is the Lion of Judah, that one day he will conquer all his enemies. And we see in the book of Revelation that he will make the wrong things right, that he will wipe away our tears, that he will mete out both rewards to those who have followed him and love him and serve him, and punishment to those who stood against him. And so when we read the news and our hearts cry out, this is not right, this is unjust, this is not the way things ought to be, our hearts are crying out with the heart of the Lion of Judah, who his heart is for justice, his heart is for righteousness, his heart is to make all things right. And one day he will return, Lion of Judah, and at his roar, we read in Isaiah, the enemies will scatter. No one will stand before his powerful roar. But those of us who belong to him, who stand behind the Lion, it is that same ferocious roar that brings comfort, that brings assurance to our hearts. Those who have experienced abuse at the hands of those in power, whether, you know, as a child, as an adult, whether in a workplace or in a church setting, anywhere that there has been abuse, the Lion of Judah stands against that. And his roar is protective of those who have suffered. What an assurance that Jesus is not just the Lamb of God and the Good Shepherd, gentle and lowly. He is also powerful. He is also for his people. He is also there to protect the weak ones. And one day he will make all things right.
Wow, and amen. Oh, I wish our text line were open right now, because I know for a fact I would be hearing from people either saying, amen, this is what I need to hear today. And I'm just so grateful that you do get to hear this message today. Oh, I got an amen from our producer. Amen and amen. She's chiming in for our listeners today, because we all needed to hear that. I want you to imagine that, friend, standing behind the Lion of Judah as he roars and the enemies scatter. We're on the winning side, and we sometimes forget that when we feel battered by life, but that enemy knows his time is short. Let's talk, Ashrita, about Jesus, the Holy One of God. Love that one.
Yeah, well, holy means set apart, something that is special, different, also sinless. And so Jesus, the Holy One of God, he's God himself come to earth to be with us, like us, and yet without sin. So Jesus is the Holy One who left the Holy of Holies. He left the presence of God to walk the earth with us, And it's because of his holiness that we have hope. It's because of his holiness that we even have a chance of entering God's presence. You know, in the temple in the Old Testament, the great high priest would only come before God's holy presence in the Holy of Holies once a year. And we read in Hebrews that, you know, he would have to offer a sacrifice for himself. He'd have to have his own sins forgiven in order to step into God's holy presence. And even that only once a year. And yet in Jesus, our own great high priest, he offers no sacrifices for himself because he lived a sinless, perfect life. And so we get to come to believe and to know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And because of him as the Holy One, he forgives. He's the only one who has the power to forgive our sins, to make us holy, to cleanse us from our sins. And not that in a ritual once a year, as with the Israelites, but every day, any day, any time of day, the Holy One of God invites us into his holy presence.
So good. You write this. When God looks at us, he sees us as holy and righteous because of Jesus. We're already positionally holy before God as we continue to grow practically in his holiness day by day through the power of his Spirit at work within us. Love that so much. Okay, here's another one. Jesus, Lord of Lords. And you say that when we submit to his Lordship, we can rest assured we are in good hands. Friends, hear that again. When you submit to the Lord's Lordship, you can rest assured you're in good hands. Say more.
Yeah, so, you know, we're not familiar with the setup of a lordship in today's day and age, but back in the age, in the feudal system, lords were men, ladies were women who ruled over a particular community, a group of people, and those people would swear fealty, loyalty to the lord, and it was the lord's responsibility to provide for his people. So if the farmers had a bountiful harvest, they would pay taxes to the Lord. And those taxes were meant to use to protect the farmers and those who worked the fields. The army that the Lord would have would defend them from other raiders and marooners coming through. I mean, this sounds like such a faraway world that most of us are unfamiliar with. But for Jesus to be the Lord of Lords, that means he's the one who rules over those who rule over us. He is the one who is committed to his people, to protect his own, to love his own, to provide for his own. And we as his own owe him our honor, our worship. He is the one who gives everything to us, and we belong to him. That is the relationship of a lord and those who swear their fealty, their loyalty to that lordship. But also, you know, in a political climate where, you know, the person in the White House may be someone we like, it might not be someone we like, the election coming up might make us nervous or not, the Lord of Lords rules over even presidents and kings and prime ministers. He is the one who rules over them as well. So regardless of who is in charge here on a political scale, the Lord of Lords is in charge. He's the one who rules, and he is still committed to protect, to provide for his own. So we can rest in the assurance of Jesus is our good Lord. He's the one who will always provide and take care of us. He has a good, good heart for us. We can rest in that.
So as we go to break, friend, as you're thinking and listening, thinking about what Ashrita is saying and listening to what she has to say, I want you to hear this again. When we submit to his lordship, we can rest assured that we're in good hands. Are there places where you've maybe not submitted to lordship, that you're holding for yourself, striving in your own strength, making your own plan, and you know you've compartmentalized parts of your relationship, like you can have everything but this, Lord? You know, you're in good hands when you submit to lordship. And those places that we take into our own hands are the places that the enemy has access to. So I just encourage you to say a prayer today. God, show me. Are there places I'm hovering, guarding, protecting, saving for myself? And why am I doing that? What about it? What about you in our relationship? Am I not trusting? Help me to open my hands and my heart and submit all of who I am to all of who you are, knowing that I'm in good hands. Talking to Ashrita Chuchu today. Her book is titled Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. Her Advent Devo is published by Moody, and we've got a handful of copies to give away. I so miss seeing your text. Can't even tell you. But it'll just make, once it's connected, our times together that much sweeter. If you still want in on the drawing, though, email my producer, Angie, and it goes this way, angela@myfaithradio.com. You'll receive a link back, and you can enter the drawing that way. I'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live, and I want to just look back over my shoulder this year and just say thank you to God and thank you to you. Thanks to God for all of his provision, and thanks to you for listening and allowing us to do this journey with you and encourage you along the way. It is absolutely amazing to us that we are getting emails and seeing that we have listeners all over the world in some of the remotest parts of the earth, and that couldn't happen without faithful friends saying, I'm going to step into a story that's bigger than I am. I benefit from Faith Radio, but I want others to benefit too. And because of that big story heart of faith, we've been able to keep growing and going. But we're not finished yet. We feel like we're just getting started. And we know that there are many, many of our listeners who listen, who love it, who benefit, but have never given before. And I say this with no condemnation, but I am issuing an invitation. If you've never given a gift before, or maybe you haven't given a gift yet this year, there's still time. Would you consider giving a tax-deductible year-end gift to Faith Radio? Help us keep growing and going, because millions of people still need to know about the hope of Jesus. You can give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. Till it's on the mountain, over the hills, and hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend Asherita Chuchu. Her book, her Advent book, is titled Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, and we have her on every Advent season and every Lenten season, too. We just love what she has to say. I love this book so much. Looking at the different names of Jesus, what a better way to prepare your heart, not only for the holidays, but for his soon return, that we can live expectantly, immersed in the reality of who he is, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We've got a handful of copies of Asherita's book, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, and you really don't have to read it at Advent. If you want to better understand who Jesus is, read it any time of the year, but we've got a handful of copies to give away. Because our text line is down, you need to enter it this way. You email Angie, angela@myfaithradio.com, angela@myfaithradio.com. You'll get a link back, and then you fill out the form that way. All right. So, Asherita, let's talk about Jesus, the great high priest. Say more about that one.
Yeah. What a powerful name. We were just chatting about this before the break, that, you know, in the Old Testament system, the high priest would go into the temple and offer sacrifices to offer a covering over the sins of the people. And this is a system that God offered because he wants to be in communion. He wants to be in fellowship with us, with the people he created. That's been his heart all along, is that we would be together. But sin stands in the way. So in the Old Testament, in this sacrificial system, the priest would come and offer sacrifices every day. And then once a year into the Holy of Holies. But Jesus, our great high priest, has done away with that sacrificial system, because it is in him that those things are fulfilled. They all pointed to the one great high priest who would come. They were all a prophetic whispers and an echo of the great high priest who would fulfill all of that. So because of Jesus, we we get to come before the great throne of God. Hebrews says we have a great high priest who empathizes with us in our weaknesses. He's not just some superhero great priest who doesn't know what it's like to be tempted, but rather he lived in human form on earth. He knows every temptation and trial. He knows the heartbreak of relationships gone wrong, of betrayal, of broken hearts and those who might turn away and abandon us. He knows that. He knows the hurt of losing a loved one to death. He knows what it's like to cry bitter tears. And because Jesus is both fully God and fully human, he is a great high priest who can empathize with us in our hardship, in our suffering, in our tears. And he offers us not just empathy, which we can find with a friend, but also help. He is the great high priest who offers forgiveness for our sins and also divine power in our weaknesses. So the book of Hebrews says we get to come before the throne of grace with boldness, knowing that we will find mercy and help in our time of need because of Jesus, our great high priest.
Beautiful. Love this. In heaven, Jesus sits on the throne of grace, ready to hear our prayers and assist us in our time of need. He sympathizes with our weaknesses because he himself was tempted in every way, as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is not aloof and prideful, but rather concerned and available. I love that. This comforting truth invites us to approach the throne of grace with confidence. A little early in the book, I think it was week two, you talked about Jesus, the truth. And that is especially important in the day when truth is being so redefined, as if we can redefine what truth is. And you say the only way we can recognize lies is to be intimately acquainted with the truth, much like the investigators recognize counterfeit currency by studying the real thing. We must fill our hearts and minds with the truth, bathing all of life in his presence so that we immediately recognize the enemy's lies when he tries to deceive us. It's Jesus, the truth, that sets us free. Say more.
Yeah, I mean, all of Scripture points to Jesus. And so when we study Scripture, what we're doing really is, one of the questions I like to ask is, what does this chapter, what does this verse, what does this narrative tell me about who God is? What does it reveal about his character? How does he define reality? Because then my own understanding of my life, of my struggles, of the world around me needs to be aligned with his view. And that is part of what makes studying Scripture, I think, such a critical component of our spiritual growth, is that every time I open God's word, it challenges me, it corrects me, it encourages me, it comforts me. But in all of this, it's the person of Jesus. All of God's word points to him. In John 1, it says that no one has ever seen God, but he who is himself God and sits at his right hand, he has made him known. And so when we hear that God is love, what does that look like? It looks like Jesus. We can see that in the Gospels. Jesus as truth means that he reveals, he makes clear and plain that which God is and what he offers to us. And that's offered to us in the pages of Scripture. That's why I think it's so important that we're in God's word, that we're feeding our hearts with this, not because it's a checklist or something that we have to do, but rather this is our opportunity. This is a privilege that we get to know the truth of the world. We get to know Jesus himself as we open the pages of Scripture.
So beautiful. We're going to talk about Jesus, our Prince of Peace, but I got to read this first. You said, we live in the present reality of God's kingdom, pushing back the kingdom of darkness and bringing to fruition the peace of Jesus, just as he is the Prince of Peace. So he calls us to be makers of peace all around us. Though the world may be caught up in anxiety and worry, we can rest securely in the knowledge that Jesus, listen to this, friends, is making all things right. And we can participate with him in bringing peace to a broken world as we look forward to the kingdom of peace. Just beautiful. Say more.
Yeah. I mean, peace is such a great theme here at Christmas time. And it's one of his names, Prince of Peace, that we find in Isaiah 9, that he will be called, that the child that is born will be called the Prince of Peace. And peace is not just the end of a war or the cessation of hostility, but peace, shalom, in the original Hebrew, it rather indicates a fullness, abundant, rich, harmonious life. It is the fullness of what God intended for us to experience. And so when God created humans in the Garden of Eden, he created them in this shalom, in this beautiful environment of flourishing and beauty and abundance. And that is what he is coming to restore. The Prince of Peace is coming not just to bring an end to wars and strife, not just to end the reign of sin and death and darkness. Rather, he's coming to restore those things, to bring shalom, to bring harmony and beauty and wonder and fullness and abundance to this world. And that is what he offers us as well. He offers us peace in his presence. What a gift that any time, anywhere we are, when we experience anxiety or fear, we get to come to him, and his perfect peace can guard our hearts and our minds. His peace can bring flourishing to a place that we feel is stripped down, bare to the bare bones. But also he sends us out as ambassadors of peace. He sends us into our communities to bring flourishing, to bring harmony, to bring life. Again, that double gift of this is who Jesus offers himself to us, but also he then sends us out to be into the world, that we would love him, that we would love others. Well, what an incredible gift.
Indeed. And you're such a living, breathing example of that, Ashrita, recovering from surgery, yet coming here and so eloquently sharing the Prince of Peace with us. I pray full healing for you. And friends, I pray you found some incredible encouragement here today. I sure did. We love and appreciate you so much. We'll meet you back here next time. Ashrita, thanks for the time, and we look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much for having me on, Susie. Merry Christmas.
Appreciate you. And to you, honey. Bless you. We'll meet you back here, friends.
Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.